Film 4 presents.
What do you want to know? I live in a shit barracks. Constant threat. I get shot at any minute through any window. I wake up every morning and do the same patrols every day. And basically the only thing I'm fighting for, that I know that I'm fighting for, is to make it home each and every day without getting killed. Because I don't know why we're here. Well, I know why we're here, but I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why we're here.
In association with Hanway Films.
I mean, I've seen about 6-year-old woman in all dressed in black and a burqa or whatever they call them, their dresses, pull out an AK from under her skirt and start spraying. Needless to say, she became a combatant, and that's the truth, you know, like. Man, woman, child, if they pick up a gun and start shooting at you, they're considered a combatant, and that's reality.
A Nick Broomfield film.
It's also just like hunting. I've hunted deer and coyotes and shit. It's like a person thinks the same, tries to think like another person would with a weapon. So it's a lot, it's ultimate style of hunting is war.
Battle for Haditha.
Like, this is the planet Earth. The body, right? Body's planet Earth. And Iraq is the cornhole. The brown hole. The asshole, whatever you want to call it. With a bunch of dingleberries. Insurgents. A bunch of dingleberries hanging around. Just waiting for a shitstorm. And we just happen to be the fucking turds going through the asshole. And all the dingleberries surrounding us trying to kill us. That's what I think about Iraq. It's a giant butthole.
On the 19th of November 2005, an IED bomb planted in the roadside in Haditha, Iraq, killed one Marine and injured two others. In the following hours, Marines killed 24 Iraqi men, women and children. 18th of November 2005, 6:30 a.m. Two US Humvees race across flat desert under a clear blue sky, trailing long plumes of dust behind them. A Marine in battle gear stands at a machine gun mounted on one of them and gives a heavy metal salute as his colleague drives, air drumming to the music. Another Marine flips the finger to the other Humvee, then gives the heavy metal gesture, a fist with just the index and little fingers extended. Dust washes against the windscreen from the Humvee in front. One of the Marines pulls down his trousers and pants and moons out the window.
This is why I fucking love the Marine Corps!
Two camels plod slowly along the horizon beyond the speeding vehicles. The Humvees turn off a road and come to a quick stop. The Marines clamber out of them.
All right, let's go. Hey, Corporal Marcus, take your fire team across the street.
Yep. Look, Jay.
Oh, what the fuck, dog?
I never seen a dick that small. What
you hey, hurry up, put your little dick away. Let's go.
Hey, hear that? His dick's so small, he's peeing on his nuts.
Hurry up, get back in formation. Hey, Cupbird.
Yes, Corporal.
You ready to get some?
Hoorah!
Found 119 IEDs, and these faggots are playing on the side of the road. All the insurgents came from Fallujah. They all here waiting for us. You know that, right?
Yes, Corporal.
We just live bait. And you retard, stop fucking around.
Haditha. The city rooftops bask in hazy sunshine with a pale amber sky overhead. 60 Marines killed in IED bomb attacks. 29 Iraqi police officers publicly executed by Al-Qaeda. in the football stadium. A sunny street is clogged with traffic. Two women dressed in black walk along a street. The younger one, Hibba, is carrying a small boy.
Welcome!
Flattened you.
Let's get three chickens, she says. What else? Asks our companion. And anything else we need. Chickens, shouts the boy excitedly. The chickens, says Hibba. In a large, dark room, a man pulls flapping white chickens from a wire cage. You want to look? Hibba asks the boy with a smile. The older woman lifts the boy up and holds him close to the cages. A man hands them the killed chickens, and they leave. Thank you, says the older woman. Quickly, says Hibba. A crowd stands around a civilian man's body lying in the street. Ahmad, a stocky, middle-aged man with a dark moustache, graying beard and receding hairline, arrives. He pushes through the crowd to see the corpse. He looks troubled and eager to see who the dead man is. He hurries up a staircase with a bag, goes into an apartment, and wipes his face with his hand.
Hello, hello.
Those Al-Qaeda idiots just killed the English teacher, he tells the woman. Do you want tea? She asks. Bring me a drink, he responds. He wipes his face again with deep concern, then lifts a little boy onto his lap and switches on the TV news. It shows burning vehicles. People rush a victim across a rubble-strewn road on a stretcher. George Bush is subtitled in Arabic.
Democracy will succeed because every month more and more Iraqis are fighting for their own country. People we have liberated will not surrender their freedom. Democracy will succeed because the United States of America will not be intimidated by a bunch of thugs.
Ahmad shakes his head in despair and drinks from his glass. The Marine Patrol makes its way through the bustling street, then a quieter back street. The Marine in the lead raises an arm, makes a rotating gesture with his hand to the others, then steps into a shop.
You got DVDs?
Yeah, sure, I got. You want? Yeah.
Hey, are these the only DVDs you have?
Let me imagine what you're looking for. You're looking for... Boom Boom?
Boom! That's what I'm talking about! Ah.
All right. Try it and you must trust me.
Try it and trust
you. Yeah,
I don't trust you motherfuckers for anything.
No. I'm sorry, I have to go. I'll leave you with my uncle. He'll give you a good deal, okay?
Smiling, Jaffa, the young man, leaves the shop and climbs onto the back of a red pickup where Ahmad is waiting. He asks Jaffa, did you bring the stuff? Then knocks on the cab, signalling the driver to get moving. He holds out a pack of cigarettes to the young man. There are two men in the truck's cab. The driver's wearing a red and white headdress. The passenger drags on a cigarette. He tells the driver to turn left. Ahmad tells Jaffa, when we pick it up, they will show us how to trigger it. Okay, he replies. Ahmad continues, do they know where they want it put? They know, says Jaffa. The truck's now heading along a straight road out of town, bordered on both sides by tall trees. The truck slows as it sounds its horn and drives in through a gate that's opened for them by two men. Ahmad uses a mouth spray. What's that? If the foreign fighters smell the alcohol, they'll kill me. Jaffa says, breathe, then smells Ahmad's breath and says, it's okay. They get to their feet, and Ahmad stops Jaffa, saying, listen, Jaffa, those Al-Qaeda guys are fucking crazy. They're the ones who killed the English teacher. Let's go. They get down from the pickup and are greeted by a few men who have been waiting.
السلام
عليكم.
السلام عليكم.
الله
يسلمك
على اخوي.
السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم. يا هلا.
A grimy metal tank with components strapped to it is uncovered in a wheelbarrow. The arrivals are told, here it is. See this? It goes inside the bomb, but be careful, any electrical charge will set it off. Understand? Good. Then you attach the cell phone. A cell phone, says Ahmad. Exactly. Then you switch the phone on and pull out the aerial. When you bury it, leave part of the aerial above ground for the frequency. Okay, replies Ahmad. Do you understand? Yes, God willing, replies Jaffa. This cell phone will trigger the bomb when you call this number. When the Humvees get close to the bomb, just dial this number and the bomb will explode. Okay, Ahmad asks Jaffa, and he replies back, okay. Do you understand? Yes, replies Ahmad. That's $500. You'll get another $500 if you're successful. The money is your reward on earth. God will reward you in heaven. The holy war is for the Muslims. You should get going. Everything is ready. Ahmad picks up a couple of petrol cans and takes them to the truck, while another man carries the device. The man carrying the metal device says, Ahmad, I want to tell you something. Stay away from the alcohol vendors. What? Who told you I drink alcohol? Hey, Ahmad, I'm not blind. We know everything you do. We're giving the alcohol vendors 3 days to stop selling, and if they don't stop, we will kill them. You know you shouldn't drink alcohol. It is against the teaching of Islam, and we need Haditha to be an Islamic city. The man claps a brotherly hand on Jaffa's shoulder. Footage of bomb attacks on a laptop screen.
Hey, Marcus, check this fucking video out. I bought this downtown with the electrical shop off a bunch of fucking kids, man. It was on Al-Qaeda TV. They burn it to a DVD. It's all our guys that were here before us patrolling these same fucking streets.
Makes me want to go out there and fucking just kill motherfuckers more.
Kill more people. If they're going to go out and do this shit to us, we should kill more of them, you know?
In a crowded barracks room, Marines relax. One is cleaning his gun. 9 a.m.
I'm not fucking dying in Iraq. Oh, yeah.
You're gonna die in Iraq?
I'd rather die fucking drowning.
On the rag. You're gonna die on the rag.
You'd rather die what?
Surfing, something like that.
Surfing?
Yeah. What, a fucking shark?
Rock surfing?
Shots.
Ramirez.
Yeah.
Why'd you join the Marines?
Why did I join the Marines?
Yeah. To get the fuck out of Philly. It was nothing for me. Philly? What the fuck was wrong with Philly?
Cheesesteaks.
It was a year of the cheesesteak depression, and everything was going downhill.
Nah, man. I mean, it's the murder capital, dude. Who the fuck wants to live there?
Let me guess. You was in a gang.
No, actually, Philadelphia doesn't even have gangs, dude.
So you left the murder capital of the United States to come to Fallujah. Yeah. And Haditha, the murder capitals of the world. Good job. You're moving up, buddy.
Aerial footage follows a car on a wide road.
Who the fuck are they?
I really don't know who's fucking out there, sir. I think they're talking about a misunderstanding with the other friend.
Corporal Maris and Corporal Marcus reporting his order, sir.
Hey, follow me. Hey, I want you guys to go down from Camp Sparta, down Market, make a left on the zebra, go over to the roadblock, make sure the Marines have chow. Good to go?
We have some door issues back there. Fucking shut it. Thank you.
Hey, we're gonna go down Market Street, make a right on Chestnut.
Then go over the bridge over to the vehicle checkpoint.
I don't think everybody likes this here.
A gun is smacked against the truck.
You fucking retard!
Are you a fucking idiot? Shit!
What was that?
Hey, Cutler just smacked a 50 cal on the truck, man.
I know, I saw it.
It's a born dildo.
Goddamn boo.
Hibba and the older women are riding in the back of a pickup. Hibba stands up and looks ahead.
Hey, I come say Yara.
There's a lot of cars. It's a checkpoint. It's jammed, she says. And we still need food for the party. Their truck slows down at traffic at the checkpoint. On the back of the red pickup, Ahmad notices the checkpoint in front of them. Fuck, a checkpoint. Typical Americans. Now that we've been liberated, we have to wait for hours. It pisses me off. We've got no water, no electricity. Our kids can't even go to school. This is Haditha. The place where people would come on their honeymoon. Now it's known as the city of death. It makes me weep. Listen, when we get to the checkpoint, just act casually. Don't be nervous, we'll be okay. 4 Humvees come tearing across the dusty desert track, producing clouds behind them. There's a Marine standing at the roof-mounted gun on the front and last vehicle. Now on the main road, the Humvees arrive at the checkpoint. A Marine beckons to 2 small children.
Come here. Come on. Go over there. Ali, can you get them for me, please?
It's okay. Cuthbert, what are you doing?
The kids.
Sergeant, I'm sorry.
A lorry laden with hay is permitted to leave.
Stop! Stop! Oh, no. Don't stay there.
To the 2 women.
Step this way, please.
They obey, the older woman holding the small boy.
Put your hands up.
Ahmad tells Jaffa, don't say anything. Keep quiet. Okay?
Go.
The women's pickup is allowed to go. The red one is next.
Stop!
Hold up!
Get your hands in the air!
رفع يديكم!
Put your hands in the air!
رفع يدك! رفع يدك!
As Ahmad and Jaffa stand with their hands raised, a Marine frisks them.
Away from the door?
Yes.
They're handed leaflets about the dangers of insurgents.
Vehicle good?
Don't
hurry up!
The red pickup drives off. Ahmad and Jaffa grin with relief. Ahmad says, useless. I told you they wouldn't find it. Have you heard the latest joke? An American joke, asked Jaffa. Listen to this one, Ahmad says. George Bush is in a meeting with his advisors, and they talk about how they are solving world peace when he gets a phone call telling him the biggest bank in America just got robbed. Bush listens in amazement and says, how is that possible? All the thieves are sitting with me. Oh, 10 a.m. A small boy is allowed to stroke a chicken in a cage. He then sits indoors next to a grey-haired man on a low seat, like a flat cushion. Chickens, the little boy says. A woman carries out a tray filled with glasses of hot tea from the kitchen. She brings a glass to someone who's still in bed. The kitchen is bustling with people and a child's face is washed at the sink. Outside, a little girl sits on a swing and a little boy playfully smacks a young goat. Some adult goats are herded past. Hibba says, our baby will be born in 6 months' time. Will you look after my baby when it's born? Just like my brother or sister, replies the little girl. Really? Asks Hibba with a smile. I will buy clothes for the baby. Really? How? I will take the baby to the market. Look at the goats, says Hibba. Look at the beautiful palm tree, replies the girl on the swing. It's always full of dates, says Hibba. A bare-chested man calls from a bedroom window. Hibba, come here quick. Come up. I've got something to tell you. I've really got something to tell you. Quickly. Are you sick? She asks with a smile, undressing in the bedroom. Wait. She lifts her black clothing off over her head, revealing lacy pink lingerie. With her long dark hair hanging loose, she climbs onto the bed, and the pair begin kissing sensuously. With their mouths locked together, she strokes his shoulder. Will you still want me as much when I've had the baby? 100 babies and I'd still want you. The man with the red and white headdress stares at the sun-drenched road ahead as he drives the red pickup. Ahmad and Jaffa ride in the back, the breeze rippling their clothing. Ahmad turns to Jaffa and says, it's great we're past the checkpoint, but I'm worried there might be another. In a Humvee, a marine riding in the back teasingly holds a lighter flame at the driver's neck, making him flinch. The driver's not amused.
Here you go, man. Here you go.
You just wait, man. Don't fall asleep.
The Humvees drive into a large, dusty compound. Their arrival is covered by an armed marine high above the entrance gate. Some prisoners are being guarded in a wire pen.
Nice bag. I like what you're doing, sir.
Pretty good.
All right, gents, good job.
Do you get anything out of these guys?
Still working on it.
I'm playing my little game of Marco Polo.
I'm not cleaning them fucking rifles, grab chow. Grab some fucking chow.
The patrol traipses into a building.
Hey, clean your fucking magazines too, CLP. Remember that shit. Last time I saw your fucking bolt was dry like a fucking 80-year-old granny's fucking coochie. Think that's funny? I don't think so. When your weapon's jammed.
It's not funny then, but funny then.
Shut up. Get on your fucking face right now. Hey, douchebag, get on your face. What's up with the fucking jokes?
Sorry.
Say, I will not be funny anymore.
I will not
be
funny anymore. I will not be funny anymore!
In the shower block, one of the Marines starts towel flicking another.
Someone in the dark! Someone in the dark! In the dark!
Hey, Cuthbert. Yo, come here.
Cuthbert sits on a bunk.
Sup? You know I'm always on your ass, right? You don't like me? No, because you fucking remind me of me, dipshit. My first deployment, man. I almost lost my fucking leg.
Ramirez reveals his scarred thigh.
They sat here and fucking told me I would never be able to fucking run again.
Fuck. Doesn't the Corps take care of you after you're hurt?
You know they offered me to get out, right? They said if I want to, I can get out with my injury. They said, hey, we'll give you 10%. You know what 10% is? That's $300 a month. That's what I'm telling you. Nobody gives a shit about you but you. Take care of yourself. The Marine Corps don't, and this fucking country don't. Remember that.
12:15 p.m. Marines jog around a grassy compound.
I love head to head.
Stab you in the
A cakewalk, baby!
Stab you in the eye with my cakewalk, baby!
I love hand to hand!
I love hand to hand!
Smash you in the grape with my E2, baby!
Smash you in the grape with my E2, baby!
Your buddy goes down, you ain't there fucking crying. You're a fucking machine, and you act like a machine. You go right through him. You understand?
Oorah, son!
I don't fucking feel it.
Oorah, son! I'm ready to take down the fucking rat here, Sergeant.
I know you are. That's good. That's why we train. To kill.
I got my motivation right here.
She's always in my mind.
There you go.
She goes in my helmet. Every time I'm ready for battle, I'm about to put it on, I stare at her, and I remember why I'm fighting this war. Protect freedom and her.
She's watching.
Put it on.
Moving!
Stack up. Get down. There's a window right behind you. Get down.
Moving!
Hey!
What are you doing?
Hey, Rambo! When do you ever jump it? Just go into a house by yourself. When? Never. Stack. Everyone stack. Go. This is a hostile environment. Everyone in there, man, woman, child, they all go. You understand that? Women will strap a fucking bomb on them if they lost a son or a husband. They will strap a bomb to a baby. To them, they're going to heaven if they kill us. You go in this house, anybody has a weapon. Anyone's hiding behind someone with a weapon, they all go. Don't think twice, it's gonna get someone killed. You understand that?
Oorah!
1:30 p.m. A road glistens like a silver ribbon as it snakes through fertile countryside. Ahmad and Jaffa sit in the back of the red pickup. Both wear black headscarves, covering most of their faces. Ahmad stands up and hammers on the side of the truck.
Stop!
Stop, he shouts. This is the place.
Halal, masari.
They stop on the road below Hibba's house, where the grey-haired man is talking to two small children in the garden. The goats are worth money, he says. They aren't free. They give birth, and they give us milk. Ahmad and Jaffa use pickaxes to break up the road surface. Ahmad takes a breather. Why are you stopping, old man? Says Jaffa. This is the last thing I expected to be doing, Ahmad replies. I should have been getting ready to retire from the army, fishing by the river, or spending time with my children. What the hell are you talking about retiring for? It is God's will that you break your back in the sun. Shut the fuck up and work. Standing by the swing in the garden, a girl watches the men dig up the road, then hurries up some steps and through a metal gate. Daddy, Daddy, she shouts.
Baba, Baba!
What's wrong, says a man in a white rounded cap. Daddy, I saw some guys over there. They had their faces covered. He points. Where? Over there? They're digging in the street, she says. Go tell your mother and make sure your brothers go home. She runs off. Don't be afraid, he shouts. I'll be home soon. Jaffa fiddles with some wiring attached to a mobile phone on top of the bomb. Slowly, says Ahmad, I hope you remember the number. Don't worry, replies Jaffa. I won't give it to my girlfriend. Shut up, or you'll get us both blown up. The bomb is gently lowered into the hole they've dug. Hibba and her husband Rashid are kissing in the shower. The water's getting cold, she says. Let's go back to bed, he replies. She glances through the window. Who are those men?
Rashid,
they're putting something into the road. It's a bomb. Don't panic, he shouts. Are you sure? What should we do? Who are they? Says Hibba. I don't know, he replies. You should tell your father, she says. Rashid turns off the shower. Let's get out of here, he says, and grabs a towel. Ahmad and Jaffa shovel rubble over the bomb and fill in the hole. Slowly, says Ahmad as he smooths the stony surface with his hand, a mobile phone's aerial poking unobtrusively through the rubble. Ahmad stuffs a rifle into a holdall, then points across the road. Let's go to that house, he says to Jaffa. Rashid strides down a hallway, buttoning up a grey tunic. He raps on a door, then opens it. His father sitting cross-legged on the floor, reading aloud from a large book. Rashid crouches beside him, looking uneasy. We just saw a bomb, he says. It's being planted in the street. What? A bomb? It's in front of our house, says Rashid, and his father replies, I'll go to the Sheikh. God willing, he will sort it out. A metal door is pounded with a rifle's muzzle. A woman screams as Ahmad grabs her. Get out, move, he yells. Please don't hurt us, she cries. I said move, get out. He heads into the kitchen, holding the muzzle of his gun against the woman's neck. What the fuck, he says as he stares out of a window. We can't see the road from here. He drags her back into the living room and shouts to a man, take your children and get out. The man picks up two toddlers and the family hurries out. Leave, Ahmad bellows. Ahmad and Jaffa head up some stairs which lead out onto a flat roof area. Part of it has been divided into two unfinished rooms, roofless with breeze block walls. The men look through one of the window apertures. Fuck, says Ahmad. We can't see it from here. Try the other side. They head across the roof area to the second room. Perfect, says Ahmad. Gasping for breath, he slumps to the floor, removes his headscarf, and wipes his face with it. Ahmad looks at Jaffa. Why are you sitting? Get up and keep looking. Where's the phone? Hibba's sitting on the floor preparing food with a group of other women. One says, we heard that there's a bomb that will explode just down the street. Hibba looks at another woman. Auntie, did Walid speak to the Sheikh? He told him about the men planting the bomb, she replies, and the Sheikh told him to pray to God, and he will help us. We should not let the terrorists control our lives and not be afraid and live normally. Yes, be strong and don't be afraid, says another woman. But can we really live like that? So we're still going to have the party, asks Hibba. What else should we do, her auntie replies. Yes, of course we will have the party. A small boy carrying three balloons holds a woman's hand as they cross a road. The smiling woman looks behind her. Eunice, don't drop your bread. She carries a large platter covered with foil on her head and leads a small procession of adults and children. Today we are happy for his circumcision. God willing, one day his wedding. Today his circumcision, tomorrow his wedding, and we will be happy for him. On the rooftop, Jaffa's pretending to fire his rifle through the window apertures. Lying on the floor, Ahmad wakes with a start, grabs his gun, and leaps to his feet. Jaffa sniggers. What's wrong with you? There's nothing. What is it? Says Ahmad. Nothing. What's going on? Nothing. Ahmad slaps Jaffa. Damn you. Are you playing up here? Damn you. He snatches Jaffa's gun from him and sits down. In the marine compound, Ramirez looks thoughtful. Around him, his comrades are fired up by the loud, heavy metal music. One plays his rifle like an electric guitar. Two shout at each other's faces, and two more headbutt each other. 5:30 p.m.
Fort Mayor's point is what you said?
Rock over Maris. You guys ready?
Yes, sir.
Hey, when you go out tonight, I'm going to go down Market Street, all right, past Chestnut. Right here, the first two houses on the left, we got intel says there's suspected insurgent activity.
I'll do that, sir.
All right, round up the suspects. There's a list of them right here. You got the grid coordinates on there and make it happen.
I do, I see.
Hey, listen up! If we're getting ready to go to these fucking hospitals, I want you to remember, this is an IED factory. Possible insurgents. Remember the 50 Marines that just got slaughtered before we fucking got here. The 6 that got drunk through them city streets.
Let's kill them, baby!
The Marines that are dying every day from IEDs!
The Marines pile out of the building and across the compound to the waiting Humvees. One clambers onto the roof of a Humvee and climbs behind a roof-mounted machine gun.
Remember the fuck I said? Let's go.
The convoy of 3 Humvees heads out of the compound in a cloud of dust. The mobile phone aerial protrudes ominously from the rubble at the side of the road as vehicles pass just feet away. Figures emerge from a house and run down a hill. Ahmad spots them. There's another family leaving, he says. They all know about the bomb. They won't tell the Americans, replies Jaffa. They know they'd be dead if they did. Ahmad slumps down on the ground and sighs. I never wanted this. I was in the army for 20 years, not for Saddam, but helping my country. The Americans made the insurgency when they got rid of the army. We got $50 compensation. It was an insult. We then joined the insurgency to fight for our country. Ramirez sits next to the driver in the front passenger seat of a Humvee as it rumbles along over rough terrain. He adjusts his communication headset. A Marine sitting behind him does the same. Now, Ramirez leads his group of Marines up some steep stone steps in an alleyway towards a door.
Set.
He cocks his gun and shoots the lock, then kicks open the door.
Get down! Tell him over here! Tell him all get down! Tell him get down on the floor! Hey, okay. Come, out. Everyone out.
3 frightened children scurry from the room.
Tell the men to go over there! Ali! Hey! Get up! Tell him go over there!
Get out of the deck!
Clear!
Yeah, they ain't jack shit in here.
Ask him, is there any insurgents near here or anything? Is he an insurgent?
عندك صور? وين هن؟ He got some pictures.
Hey, tell him get up and go get him.
قوم وقف وجيب هن.
Photos of the man's badly bruised body.
Shit. Jesus Christ. What the fuck they did to this dude, man? Fuck. Ask him who did this to him.
منو سوى لك هاي الشغلات؟
المجاهدين اللي عذبوني فيها.
He says they're terrorists and insurgents. I don't know what they belong to, but I call them like they are out of law.
Coach Carawa.
Jesus Christ,
they tease him up, huh?
Fine.
Hey man, they're all clear here, man.
In a crowded room decorated with balloons and paper garlands, a man beats a drum as the young boy is prepared for his circumcision. A man in a black and white headdress lays some surgical instruments on a sheet. The boy cries as he's laid on the sheet and the operation is performed. Afterwards, Hibber and the other women dance and take it in turns to hold the boy, who's naked below the waist, a small patch of white cloth draped across his groin. A woman holds a metal plate on her head and guests throw money and sweets onto it. Now Hibber and Rashid are alone outside in the twilight. I have something to talk to you about, he says. Don't get angry. What is it? My father told me that you should go to your family house. I did not tell him anything. I did not agree or not. I don't want to go. Let's go to Syria or Jordan. Let's run away. You know how much I love you. Just a few days at your family house. Let me figure something out. Then I'll follow you. You should go. I'll feel better. The most important thing for me is to find somewhere safe for the baby. Me too, Rashid replies. This is not a good idea, says Hibber. ...10:30 p.m. The convoy of Humvees heads down a dimly lit dual carriageway. Now, shaky, green-tinted night vision footage of Marines heading up some steps. A door is kicked open and a thunder flash thrown in.
Holy fucking shit. Hey, call fucking explosives. Hey, let's get the fuck back down. Hey, Ramirez! Ramirez!
Yes!
Hey, we got a shitload of bomb shit. Where's Ali? Hey, talk to the oldest man at the fucking very beginning right here. He speaks a little English, said nothing about this. He knows everything. Obviously. Hey,
Security.
Six fucking gas tanks, man. Very security. All the security. Okay? Hey, we got women and children right here. All the men are right here.
Whose bombs are those upstairs?
I don't
know anything about that.
You don't know anything?
Who knows?
Who knows? It's in your fucking house. Who knows?
There's a fucking factory upstairs. You don't know shit about that, huh?
Hey,
that's why. Hey, Ali, come here. Hey. Tell him stand up.
Gumogaf?
Whose bombs are those upstairs?
Minu hayal kanam bil ilmen fok
al-sata.
What? He doesn't know.
You don't fucking know?
A man is led from the house with a hood over his head.
Get down! Stay down!
Hey, get down! Come down!
Get on your knees!
Hey, what? Get down!
Get down! Hey, hey, get the rest of these guys out here! Get down! Get down!
Get down! A group of women are talking. If we tell the Americans, the terrorists will kill us. If we keep quiet, the Americans will say we're cooperating with the insurgents. What should we do? Who knows? This morning I thought about taking the kids and leaving. But the trouble is, it's dangerous to travel. I can't think of any safe place. We're trapped. In a courtyard, men wearing Arabic headdresses link arms and dance in a circle under a canopy of twinkling lights. Rashid dances with the men. A short distance away, a man digs a hole in the ground. He looks up at the night sky. We plant this olive tree on the occasion of Abdul's circumcision for peace in Iraq. Two men fire rifles into the air as they dance. Ahmad and Jaffa are crouched on the rooftop in darkness as the convoy of Humvees passes below. Fuck, says Ahmad. They're on the wrong side of the road. We can't get them. If they'd been over there, it would be all over. He moves over to an adjacent wall and slumps against it, rubbing his hand wearily across his face. Shit, how long do we have to wait? Give me a cigarette. He wipes his nose with his fingers and reaches forward to accept a lit cigarette, which he draws on thoughtfully. The man who's planted the olive tree rests his shovel on his shoulder and waves goodbye.
Ashraf Kumbachev! Tamanillah!
Sir, we've got northwest coordinates in the office right now.
Marine Headquarters, Ramadi, Iraq.
Military-age male with shovel on roadside might be planting an IED.
A Marine studies a blurry image on a monitor of the man leaving the party.
Take him out.
Roger that. 5 seconds.
A military scope is trained on the man.
3, 2, 1.
A bright flash fills the screen and the man's image disappears. The Humvee convoy heads down a deserted town street, lights burning brightly in some of the shop windows. Inside one of the vehicles, Marines guard their hooded prisoners. Now the prisoners are led across the Marine compound.
Coming down.
They're locked inside an enclosure. An Iraqi army translator is briefed.
Intelligence is going to take them one by one and interrogate them. We know they're guilty, we found the explosives. So they better not lie because we have their family forensics. They're fucking with the wrong people, this is the US Marines. Not the fucking Boy Scouts.
مو ناس عاديين. جاي تسمعون؟ انتو مجنونين؟
Tell them the fucking answer. Fucking answer.
اي جاوبوا جاي تسمعون ولا ما تسمعون؟
In a dormitory, Marines doze on bunks, some wearing sleep masks. An alarm on Ramirez's watch sounds and he rouses groggily to switch it off. 19th of November, 5:45 a.m. Still drowsy, Ramirez switches on a tap at a sink. He holds his hand under the running water for a few moments before dousing his face. With the other Marines still asleep on their bunks, Ramirez slips into his fatigues and heads down a corridor to a control room.
Good morning, sir.
Hey, what's up, nurse?
Is there any way I can speak to you in private?
Yeah, sure. Come over here. About as private as it gets. What's up?
Sir, I have a question. I'm kind of having difficulty sleeping at night.
Well, what's bothering you?
Just bad dreams, shit I've seen. I was wondering, is there any way I can speak to a doctor?
I'm sorry, but you can't see a doctor until tour duty's over. Just the way Marine policy is, you're going to have to wait till your tour duty's over and see a doctor on your leave.
The sun's rays cast the first light of day across a desert landscape. A white saloon cruises along a dusty road. Inside, the driver stares fixedly ahead while all his young male passengers sleep. 6:30 a.m. at the Marine compound, Ramirez and another Marine carry cartons out of the building.
Hey, listen up, gents. Hey, we're going to take this food over to the vehicle checkpoint, all right? Let's go.
The early morning sunlight bathes a young Marine's tense face in a rosy glow as it pierces a Humvee's windscreen. He takes a sip from a plastic bottle. The Humvee convoy is cast into silhouette as it heads into the sun along a straight road. On the rooftop, Ahmad kneels in prayer. In Hibba's house, Walid sits on a mattress, smoking a cigarette. Nearby, Abdul lets out a huge yawn. Hibba and Rashid are snuggled up together, asleep in bed.
Red 2, red 3, this is red 1, over. Okay, we're gonna head down.
As the convoy makes its way into the town, Ahmad watches its approach through binoculars.
Jaffa,
the Americans, quickly, bring the camera. Jaffa opens the screen on the side of the camcorder. A Marine slumbers in the back of one of the Humvees. Hibba's daughter chases her younger siblings onto a narrow terrace. Get dressed, we'll be late for school. Their attention's distracted by the passing convoy. Ahmad watches the first Humvee pass the bomb.
What's up?
Give me a kiss.
On your dreams, bitch.
The second Humvee trundles by.
Hey, Rashid! Pull over!
The white saloon. A woman dressed in black calls out, "The Americans have stopped the boys." Ahmad's thumb hovers over the phone's keypad. A huge fireball erupts into the air. Rashid hurries to a window and Hibba dives under the duvet, screaming hysterically.
Allahu Akbar! Haragnaam harag!
Ahmad and Jaffa hurry down from the rooftop.
Hey, watch the left side! Watch the left side! Come
on! Go, 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 go!
A Marine lying in a pool of blood cries out in agony. Ahmad and Jaffa run up a narrow alleyway. They turn to let off a few rounds. The Marines return fire. Ahmad and Jaffa scarper up some steps, Jaffa running ahead as Ahmad turns and lets rip with another burst of fire. Marines continue to fire in the general direction of the fleeing insurgents.
Sir, we've just been hit by an IED at the intersection of Chestnut and Market, and there's reports of one killed Marine and two severely wounded.
Hey, don't interrupt, sir. Alright, we got one. You said one killed?
One killed and two severely wounded, sir.
Alright, two wounded. Hey, call the medevac right now. We got two wounded and we got one killed. I want the LZ to be the corner of Market and Chestnut.
That's gonna take care of you.
Ramirez goes over to where another injured Marine is lying.
Hey, look at me. Hey, Roberts, right. Stay with us. You're going to be all right. Look at me. Hey. You're going to be all right. Don't worry about it. Doc's going to take care of you, all right? You're going to be good.
Ramirez!
Yeah?
Cutburn!
Shit! Cutburn! Fuck, man.
Ramirez crouches over the remains of Cuthbert. A tangled mass of bloody intestines is all that's left of the lower half of his body.
I'm sorry that you damn me.
Distraught, Ramirez stands up.
Hey! Get two fire teams ready to cross over there and clear those houses! My fire team, we're going over there and clear those! Whoever fucking did this shit is around somewhere! We're gonna make them fucking pay! Fuck that! ASAP! Get those fire teams ready! My fire team, let's move! Go, 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 go. Hey, who the fuck are these motherfuckers? Hey, get out the vehicle! Get out! Get out!
Let's go! Get out! Get out!
Get the fuck
Move.
Out!
Let's go!
Get the fuck over there! Move! Move!
The men get out of the white saloon, their hands raised.
You motherfuckers wanna sit around and do shit? Who the fuck pulled that trigger? Who the fuck set that bomb off? Nobody wants to talk? You don't wanna fucking talk? You don't know who fucking did it? You don't know who fucking did it? Alright? Motherfuckers, you still don't fucking know! You still don't fucking know!
Ramirez shoots each one in turn, then another Marine riddles them with bullets. On a balcony, a woman wails in grief while a man fires at the Marines. The Marines return fire. Hibba's daughter watches from a window.
I want you to take a sniper position up there! I want you to take a sniper position up on that rooftop! Shoot anything that fucking moves! Go!
Let's go, let's go!
All right, let's go!
Head coordinates 23 kilometers.
Sir, this is Captain Sampson. I had 3rd Squad going out on a patrol. They just got hit by an IED.
I got 1 killed, 2 wounded, 1 severely.
I don't want any more Marines killed. Am I clear?
Yes, sir.
Take whatever action is necessary.
Hibba runs through the house crying out, Ilham, Ilham, where are you? She finds her daughter looking out of the window and pulls her away, saying, what are you doing watching them? Ahmad and Jaffa make their way up a grassy embankment, concealing their rifles under their coats. Ramirez is talking into his radio mic.
We just took small arms fire from this building. Permission to go engage and clear out that house, sir.
The 2nd or 3rd house. All right, you got positive identification on that. All right, you see people fire. Take the motherfucking house then.
Roger that, over. Hey, my fire team, we're moving. Hey, make sure you keep security on this side just in case anybody pops up. Hey, let's go, we're fucking moving.
Rashid goes indoors, closing the door behind him. He kisses his mother's head and says, God be with you. He says to his father, God be with you, father. He goes into another room where Hibba's sitting on the floor, surrounded by children on pillows and under blankets. He sits opposite her and pinches her nose, pretending to extract a coin. A boy smiles at the trick. Rashid pretends to swallow the coin. Hibba says, do you think this is the right time? Rashid's engaging the children with the trick and says, we will hide it, and pretends to put the coin in one of Hibba's clenched fists. Ilham chooses Rashid's hand, but when he opens it, the coin's not there. Ilham looks in each hand, but the coin's disappeared. Rashid says, I caught you out. Hibba gives Ilham the coin, and she smiles.
Let's go!
Ramirez throws a grenade over a wall.
Set!
Frag out!
Frag out!
They charge up some steps and over the wall. Ahmad and Jaffa are running down a street. Ahmad says, congratulations. Thank God it went well. He continues, what's happening? Things will get worse before they get better. Jaffa says, let's pray things get better. The Marines burst into Rashid's house and open fire into an empty room. They approach Rashid's father.
Get fucking hands up! Who set off the fucking bomb?
Before Rashid can stop her, his mother rushes out of the room, closing the door in his face, then runs down the hallway to find her husband shot dead. As she crouches down beside him, a Marine shoots her. A teenage boy comes into the room, his hands raised, and a Marine shoots him. They throw a grenade into an adjacent room. Oh! they charge into a bedroom and rip the blanket off the mattress.
Touch this shit!
Take this shit off!
Two Marines stalk down a hallway, then one of them shoots open a door and throws a grenade inside. They spray bullets into the smoke-enshrouded room, but the women and children in there are already dead. They fire at the ceiling, then charge down the hallway.
Who's that? Fuck, they got out the back door!
Alright, rush that. They went to the fourth house. Alright, go get them. Get the motherfuckers. Hey, they're going from this house down here into this house. That's where the trigger guy ran into.
A helicopter hovers overhead, while on a minaret, Ahmad is peering through binoculars at Haditha. Jaffa and another man standing next to him. He says, I want you to film everything to show what the Americans are doing. The world will see today how the Americans behave. Jaffa says, let me see. And Ahmad passes the binoculars to him. It's the same all over Iraq. We will get them out of Iraq, just as we did the British. Rashid stumbles into the smoke-enshrouded room littered with bodies and calls out, Hiba, all the kids are dead. He stumbles into another room and finds his mother and father dead. He crouches beside his mother and sobs. Carrying a child, Hiba wanders through the smoke. Rashid hurries through the house, stepping over the body of the teenage boy. He staggers through a flaming room where a grenade had been thrown, looks into the bedroom, then comes back the way he came. He charges down a corridor and finds Ilham looking dazed, blood speckled on her face. He clutches her face tightly, says something to her, then heads off. Ilham trembles, her expression numb. Carrying a child, Hiba makes her way up an embankment towards a house. A helicopter lands on the street, Marines tending to a wounded soldier ducking down as a blast of dusty wind sweeps over them. The soldier's carried on a stretcher over to the helicopter. He's loaded onto the chopper, which then lifts into the air. The Marine lies with his arm poking out of the helicopter doors, a grimace spread across his face. He holds a photograph in front of his face, of himself with his girlfriend, and he stares at it longingly. His lips move silently, and he kisses the photograph.
Hey, I've got drone footage of the guys moving house one to house two. Keep an eye on the surrounding area.
I see. Okay, drone number two, move 2 points.
Move, move, move!
8 a.m. A father says to his wife and children, Safa, hide under the bed. I'll find out what's happening. He goes into another room where a woman and a child are tucked beneath a blanket. He says, Mother, the Americans will come to search the house. Don't worry. Army trucks pull up along the street. Soldiers pile out and charge up some steps. A group of the soldiers head into a house, while the others continue on up the steps. The father looks through a spy hole in the front door and sees soldiers burst into the hallway. They fire through the front door, bullets tear through his body and throw him across the room. The soldiers race into houses, throwing grenades and emptying their weapons. A high-angled view of a rooftop where some Iraqis raise their hands at gunpoint. Ahmad's watching through binoculars from the minaret. His friend asks him, what's happening?
That's what I thought some tea.
He replies, there is a helicopter and more firing. They're killing people down there. I thought they would fire in the air. We're killing our own people. I wish I hadn't done it. His friend replies, what are you talking about? You just don't understand. Those people are martyrs who have given their lives for our fight and the future of Iraq. Don't give in to your emotions. The foreign fighters and the resistance will be so proud of you. It's been a great mission. He extracts a brown envelope from his pocket and says, here, take this. Now the world will see how the Americans behave. A small boy lies on the floor, a bloody wound on the side of his head, the air suffused with smoke. He coughs. 22.875. Aerial footage of some figures making their way along a street.
Okay. Motorbike and two cars parked. 10 men are grouped with weapons. Coordinated insurgent attack suspected.
Engage the target.
Roger that. Give me 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
On the monitor, an explosion blazes across the screen.
Look what I found! Is that fucking yours? What the fuck is this? I don't fucking understand you. Shut the fuck up or I'm taking it to you.
Hoods are put on the captives.
Yalla! Yalla! Move! And make sure everyone these motherfuckers get fucking down!
11:30 a.m.
One of these motherfuckers know who planted that IED. They saw it being planted, and they didn't say shit.
We have an ID.
Nobody knows. Nobody knows something, right?
Fuck that. They're all fucking cowards. They set off IEDs, and they fucking hide in their fucking homes. Fuck that. Hey, you searched every one of them?
Sosa, you searched them all?
I searched them all.
Ramirez, we ain't got nothing. Watch out! Don't you fucking move!
Rashid stumbles out of his house, searching desperately.
Heba! Heba! Heba!
Rashid runs across the top of a ditch. Some soldiers spot him from a rooftop.
Heba! Oh, holy shit, there's a runner at 12 o'clock! Holy
target
shit.
On the move!
They shoot him dead, and he rolls down the ditch. They pump a few more rounds into his back. The soldier shows off his kill to his comrade. The army vehicles trundle on down the street. Hibba peers over a wall. She spots a little girl on the street. She says, Safa looks hurt. Come here. Safa walks towards the house. Hibba opens the gate and embraces the little girl. She holds her tightly and kisses the top of her head, then turns on a tap and examines a wound on her temple. Thank God you're alive, she says, as she wipes water on her cheek. Does it hurt? A little, Safa replies. She kisses Safa's face. Fires burn on the street from where the bomb went off, and soldiers mill about. Marines charge into the house where Ahmad and Jaffa were hiding. They search an open roofed area.
There.
Ramirez looks through a window with a view of the street.
Hey, get over here!
Hey, this is what the motherfuckers were. Look, they fucking saw us the whole time. Mourinho, didn't it? Hey, how many kills you guys got?
Hibber runs across the top of the ditch.
Ramirez have a female runner along the ridge!
She scrambles down the ditch to Rashid's body. Hibber clutches Rashid's neck.
Go! Hey!
Rashid!
Hey!
A herd of goats scurry past as the Marines close in on Hibber, who's pressing herself against Rashid's body.
Hey! Get away from the body! Please, get away!
She spits at Ramirez, then pounds him with her fists. He watches helplessly as she collapses beside Rashid's body and clutches him, resting her head against his stomach. Ramirez offers his hand, and she stares at it with a grimace of anger.
Please.
With a look of unimaginable anguish, she bows her head. 6:30, Ramirez leans against a vehicle and keels over, retching.
Oh, fuck.
He emerges from behind the vehicle.
You're the last. Is it dead?
Yeah.
What's up? So how you doing, man?
I'm good, man. I'm good.
Good? You look good. Look like $1 million.
I feel good. Yeah. Let me get over here.
Ramirez sits on the ground, looking troubled.
What up, Marines?
Oh, sir!
We got the round. We're going to say a prayer for PSG Cuthbert. Bow your heads. Lord, we lost a great young warrior today. But the battle was won. Please give his family the strength to move on with their lives. We know he's in a better place with you, Lord. Please give the United States Marine Corps the courage and ability to destroy our enemy who hides like cowards among civilians. We thank you, Lord. We have to make some difficult decisions sometimes out here. We know you understand. Thank you. And hoorah. Hoorah, Marines. Outstanding job. Cooper Ramirez.
Sir.
You handed yourself like a true professional out there. I'm going to promote you to sergeant, and I'm going to recommend you for the Bronze Star.
Thanks, sir.
You kept your head in the game, and you kept your Marines alive. Good to go?
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
All right, job well done, Marine.
Thank you, sir.
All you, great job.
Rah, sir!
Rah!
Job, boy.
Fucking sergeant?
You.
Night has fallen, and Ahmad and Jaffa make their way along a street, army vehicles trundling by. Ahmad clutches his gun to his chest, wrapped in his coat. A Marine stands behind a gun mounted on the roof of one of the vehicles, keeping a lookout at the head of the convoy. Inside the vehicle, Ramirez stares into space with a somber expression. The other Marines stare ahead impassively. Ahmad and Jaffa walk along the street, and Ahmad turns to Jaffa and says, "Come to my place for a drink?" Sorry, my uncle's looking after the store, replies Jaffa. They kiss each other on the cheek and head off in separate directions. Ahmad says take care and strides across the street. He heads into his house and sets his rifle against the sofa. His daughter comes rushing over, crying out, Mummy, Mummy, Daddy's home.
Hello, hello, hello.
She runs into his arms and he lifts her up.
Hello, happy birthday, Mother. Hello, hello, happy birthday.
Holding her close, he sits on the sofa and asks, How are you? Good, she replies. I missed you, he says. As he hugs her, his face crumples and he quietly weeps. He kisses her cheek. The sun blazes in an amber sky, casting a watchtower in silhouette. 20th of November. In a bathroom.
Hey, man.
What's up?
Yeah, have you been getting nightmares lately?
Nightmares? Nah, man.
It's like I couldn't fucking sleep, man.
Ramirez looks uneasy.
Like last night, man, I kept hearing like cries and shit. Like, I keep seeing these fucking bodies, man. These fucking women laid out, fucking dead. Their kids. It's not so much the guys, man. It's more like the women. And then I see pictures of, like, my fucking mother laying next to them at night. I just wish I could fucking change a lot of shit, man.
What are you talking about?
I feel like a lot of those fucking people I kill fucking personally, you know what I mean? Dude, I'm fucking live with this guilt for the rest of my life, man.
Leaning against a sink, Ramirez is on the verge of tears.
No way he fucking understands it either, man. I feel like I'm personally responsible for all those motherfuckers that died underneath me. Every Marine that died underneath me, I feel like I'm personally responsible. Like I could have fucking changed it, you know what I mean?
Tears run down his face.
Fucking hate the motherfuckers, the officers that send us in. Fucking hate them!
Ramirez, you alright?
Fucking hate them, man! Every one of them! All they fucking give a fuck about is the fucking criminals, man! They don't give a fuck about us!
Later, Ramirez is riding in an army vehicle along a street, staring out of the window with an impassive expression. A gun mounted on the vehicle is pointed at the buildings as they pass by. At a mosque, bodies are lined up along the floor. Male mourners stand on either side, lifting white sheets over them, then laying the sheets over the bodies. A young man films the funeral with a video camera. A man in a red and white headscarf says, This is our time. Look at your children. Look at your families. We should get our revenge on the Americans. Enough orphans. We want our revenge. In another room, women are wailing with grief, one of them screaming, Give them mercy, my God, send them to heaven. They bow over and over, pulling at their hair, hitting at their own bodies. Hibba is sitting cross-legged with them, sobbing ferociously and slapping at her chest. Where is the world, someone cries. Where are all the Arab countries? Look at us, Arabs. Where is the help from the European countries? Give us a sign. Find us a solution. We want our country back. We want back Greater Iraq, the country of plenty. The men lift the bodies wrapped in white sheets and carry them away, while two of the men fire rifles into the air. A young man is filming Safa, while Ahmad watches with a sober expression. Safa has one eye bandaged. She says, "My name is Safa. I am the only survivor of the Yunis family. My mum and dad and my five brothers and my auntie all got killed by the Americans. I wish the Americans would be killed and they get out of Iraq." Ahmad says to her, "Now, Safa, say the Americans hit you over the head, okay?" He steps back to let her speak. A group of men are watching the video of Safa while a man lectures them. He says, "This is a symbol of what the Americans are doing to our families and our people. Look at this girl. She's the only survivor of her family. The Americans killed her whole family. Will we just keep quiet?" The men reply, "We are ready, Sheikh. We are ready." Men thrust their rifles in the air, chanting, "Bush, Bush, leave our country. You cannot defeat us." Ahmad and Jaffa stand behind the Sheikh as he says, "The Marines have lost the battle for Haditha. Everyone has joined us and we control the city." He walks along the new recruits saying, "You will bring us victory, God willing. Victory by your hands." The men chant, "Give us permission and see what we can do." Watching from a doorway, Ahmad says to Jaffa, "I'm afraid that once the Americans leave, we will get someone worse than Saddam, and he will burn Iraq more than it burns now." A soldier watches a monitor showing an aerial view through a bomber's crosshairs of a small building.
The square building is the mosque, or is it the
rectangle building is the mosque.
Roger, man.
Major General, sir, we've run a check of all the Iraqi dead and unmatch her in certain databases.
Nothing that you say causes me any undue concern. It's clearly coordinated attack and standard operating procedures were followed.
This is the official press release.
A U.S. Marine and 15 Iraqi civilians were killed yesterday from the blast of a roadside bomb in Haditha. Iraqi Army soldiers and Marines returned fire, killing 8 insurgents and wounding another.
On the press release, the words, "killing 8 insurgents," are highlighted. 4 months later, a headline reads, "Student footage reveals Marine cover-up."
The case first came to light when a Time magazine reporter received video footage shot by a local Iraqi journalism student. It showed the gruesome aftermath of the incident. It also has interviews with some of the survivors. Safa Yunus, 12 years old, is the only living survivor from her family of 9. She claims that the Marines came into her house and shot her entire family. Hiba Abdullah and 3 children were the only survivors of a family of 12. If it had not been for the Time magazine report, this case would never have come to light. The Marine High Command failed to investigate the events of November 19th for over 2 months. The blame, they say, must not be allowed to stay at the enlisted level, but should be traced to its source, which is the Secretary of Defense and the Commander-in-Chief.
I am troubled by the initial news stories. I am mindful that there is a thorough investigation going on. If, in fact, the laws were broken, there will be punishment.
One of the charged Marines, a Corporal Ramirez, according to his attorney, was nominated for a Bronze Star for his heroism on the very day the incident took place. The Marines claimed that they were merely following their standard operating procedures, lost in an extremely hostile environment.
8th of March 2006, a convoy of army vehicles make their way along a winding desert track. Plumes of brown dust are churned up by the wheels of the Humvees. Soldiers are sitting in the vehicles, clutching their rifles. The vehicles trundle across the vast desert landscape, shimmering in the heat. Marine High Command, Camp Ramadi. Soldiers march through a white-walled corridor. Ramirez is leading the way. He steps into a room with the other men, and they line up in front of a blackboard, facing the commander behind his desk.
Corporal Ramirez, point of order, sir.
At ease. Corporal Ramirez, you're being investigated for 13 counts of murder. Corporal De La Cruz, 5 counts of murder. Corporal Matthews, 3 counts of murder. And Sergeant Ross, 3 counts of murder. Now it is my job, and your job as Marines, to protect the reputation, the honor, and the future of this Corps. And I will not have a band of reckless Marines ruin that future and that reputation.
Ramirez stares into space. He remembers charging into Rashid's house with another Marine, the air suffused with dust and smoke.
Oh, shit. Hey, Matthew, set the fire up.
The Marine goes into another room, the walls on fire, while Ramirez heads down a hallway. He looks into a room and sees it littered with bodies. He lowers his rifle with a disturbed expression. He continues on down the corridor and goes into a bathroom where he finds Ilham huddled in the bath.
Ramirez, you okay?
Ramirez helps her out of the bath.
We've all seen a lot of action at a young age.
He leans over and says something to her.
20 years old and this is my third tour of duty. We've all seen things that'll haunt us for most of our lives.
He holds her hand and walks along the corridor.
I guess after a while you just get hardened.
Shafts of sunlight blaze through a doorway and they walk into it.
Come on.
They disappear through the doorway, leaving behind plumes of dust that twist and turn in the light.